Well, WBAI, as many of you know, is a tough situation and a tough nut to crack.
And Tony Riddle is here.
And again, my hat off is off to Tony Riddle, who's another new manager in the network, walking into an extremely, extremely difficult situation that is in no way of his making.
Okay, now we're going to have a lot of under-the-breath comments here. Brian, go ahead.
WBAI's 12-month numbers show a deficit of $650,000. There's a small amount of dispute over this, $50,000 in a PayPal account, but the range under the dispute is either the deficit is $600,000 or $650,000. Not that there is no deficit. Unlike KPFK, the bulk of that deficit is structural, is not one-time costs. There are some one-time attorney's fees in New York, but largely the issue is that the station is living beyond its means, beyond its fundraising capacity. There's also really no elasticity in the on-air fundraising. WBAI is already on-the-air fundraising more than 90 days a year and has been for the past several years. So that's one out of 4 days. The problem is WBAI has long since spent any savings it had, long ago stopped making its central service payments to the national office, has also had to effectively borrow from the national office in other ways, such as delaying payment of billbacks for things that the national office pays centrally, like health benefits. Presently, that's having a destabilizing effect on the entire network. Because the national office's savings are now gone, too. It's having to borrow money to pay its bills, and it's getting us into a bad situation. The general take on this budget is that it is not perfect. It represents a lot of progress, and progress in a direction that I've not seen from WBAI budgeting in the past 3 years, and I want to honor and acknowledge all the work that went into that. What we've seen with WBAI in the 3 years that I've been on the National Finance Committee is we get a budget at the last minute from the station. We raise concerns about it. There's not time to deal with those concerns before they come to this meeting. And then for the last 2 years, the National Board has refused to approve a budget because the budget's not good, but also not followed up with any other measures that would impose financial discipline at WBAI, so the spending is continued unchecked. Our recommendation from the National Finance Committee is that the cuts in this budget be implemented, and also that the station prepare itself to make further cuts if necessary. I'll go through the details of that in a minute. First, I want to take you on a tour of the budget. So we're dealing with the handout here, the most recent version. Tony Riddle did a lot of quick turnarounds on budgets to address concerns we raised on the committee, which was great. The most recent turnaround was a hair too late to make it into the board packet, but you should all have a copy.
I put one at every seat, Kathy. Look under your books or something.
And just as a point of information, it was too late for National Office to footnote
right,
as well, which I feel very unprepared about. Disappointing.
Tony, do you have any extra copies or did you hand all yours out? Okay, thanks. All right, thank you.
So start with listener support. So we've got a station spending in excess of 90 days a year on the air fundraising. We would like to see in this situation at least a 5% drop in anticipated listener revenue. This is slightly less than that. 5% would be a $115,000 drop. This budget shows a $90,000 drop. Pretty good. It shows revenue in some areas that we have not seen justified to our satisfaction yet. One of them is community events income. This is a modest increase from $26,000 over a 12-month period to $46,000 over a 12-month period. station management reports that this is based on doing one community event per month. But we've not yet seen a calendar for events. And the first month they'd have to do one in starts in a week and a half. Also a concern raised on the committee is that the income from community events is going up, but the expense for community events is going down elsewhere in the budget, so we don't know if that's realistic. Grant income, again, a small item, but it's going up from $12,000 to $50,000. What we've asked other stations to do, and you've seen it in your footnotes, is provide a schedule of all grants they either have committed or are pursuing, and the details at what stage they are with the grant. In the grant-making process, you go through a series of levels of review before you get the grant. The first one would be just sending in a letter of interest. The second one would be submitting a full proposal. And at each level, you have a higher and higher probability of getting the grant. We don't have any details supporting that from WBAI. Management says they expect to hire a full-time development director under this budget or to make one full-time. I'm not quite sure which. And they expect that person to be raising more grant money. I'm cautious about that because most grant money you can get is restricted, meaning you raise it for a specific purpose and it comes with obligations to spend more money, so it doesn't add to your bottom line. And also because if you're starting from zero on grants, 6 months is a really quick turnaround to get the money in the door. On expenses, there are a lot of administrative belt-tightening measures that really have to congratulate management on, closing some ISDN lines the station doesn't need, changing the phone plan, the mailing house. A lot of little places that are saving a few thousand here, a few thousand there that add up to a lot. I'm not going to detail them all. The committee thinks they're solid based on management's explanation. And the bottom line this budget shows is a surplus of $140,000. Now, in addition to the revenues I outlined, there are a couple big areas of concern that are not yet addressed in this budget. One is liability under an existing union grievance. Under its union contract, WBAI was to, at the start of last fiscal year, this would be October 1st, 2007, give a 4% pay hike to all of its union workers. They didn't, as a cost-cutting measure. Problem is, when a contract says you have to do something and you don't do it, you're in breach of contract, and that is enforceable. And as I'm sure our resident labor attorney could tell you, that is a losing battle, unless you have the union's consent. We have a rough estimate on what this would cost if they had to pay the back wages, but not a detailed estimate. That rough estimate is somewhere in the vicinity of $70,000, not in the budget. Of course, if that raise goes into effect, it also carries through for next year, right? In the budget year, everybody's wages are higher. So even with the roughly 350,000 in staffing reductions that this budget shows, your expenses in the budget year go up another $50,000, $60,000. The second thing this budget counts on that we don't consider fully justified yet is a decrease in WBAI's rent. The plan, as management has explained it to us, is to give up half the space that WBAI occupies on Wall Street as of January 1st and have the landlord rent it out to someone else so that they would be paying half their rent for half the year. Management says they've had a conversation with the landlord and the landlord's down with this. What we don't have is anything in writing from the landlord saying this is permissible. And this would be a breach of the terms of the lease, so it would have to be mutually agreeable to the landlord and the tenant, which is WBAI, to amend that. The last concern is that this budget shows only $44,000 in legal expenses, and there are two pieces of ongoing litigation at WBAI. We were recently shown the bills for the last 6 months, and they totaled over $77,000. So there is some concern that that legal budget may not be realistic. Now, when the WBAI local station board reviewed this budget. It was at the very last minute. It was Wednesday night. And they wrapped up their deliberations about 15 minutes before we started our conference call on what to do with this budget. And they recommended adding in several revenue streams that I'm sure you'll hear about. The feeling from people in New York who have the most operational understanding of the station is that some of these might work out. But they're not all going to work out. And we certainly can't count on them all working out. And that there's already unproven revenue in the budget. What we are recommending the Pacifica National Board do with this budget, as I said, is impose the cuts in it and to ask the station to prepare for further cuts if they're necessary. That would mean turning around a contingency plan, showing what you do if you blow your drive goal, if the grant money doesn't pan out, et cetera, et cetera. The exact language is as follows. The National Finance Committee finds that the WBAI budget makes substantial progress in stabilizing WBAI's finances, but still has concerns about the following areas. One, community events income. The WBAI budget anticipates a $20,000 increase in community events income, which station management asserts will represent one event per month. Management has not yet produced a calendar of events, so the NFC cannot evaluate whether the income and expense associated with those events have a basis in demonstrated performance. Two, grants income. The WBAI budget assumes an increase in unrestricted grant income of $38,000. Station management states that this is based on increasing the number of hours allotted to the development director position, but has not produced a schedule of grants the station is currently pursuing. As such, the NFC considers this unproven revenue. Three, rent. The WBAI budget assumes a decrease in studio rent takes effect in January, saving the station roughly $60,000 for the year. This is based on the landlord permitting WBAI to relinquish half its studio space. Mm-hmm. There's no written acknowledgement from the landlord that this is acceptable. Four, legal. The past 6 months' bills for two lawsuits expected to remain active in fiscal year 2009 exceeds $70,000. It's actually closer to $77,000. WBAI's budget of $44,000 in legal expenses may be too little. Five, union liability. Under a pending union grievance, WBAI may be required to pay back wages totaling roughly $70,000 and increase wages for the budget year by a total of roughly $50,000. This budget does not include those potential costs. The WBAI budget shows a bottom line surplus of only $140,000. The risks identified by the NFC exceed twice that amount. Accordingly, the NFC recommends that the PNB require WBAI to impose all spending cuts in the current version of the FY09 budget and require WBAI management to identify additional cuts that can be implemented if WBAI underperforms its budget, and direct the National Office to conduct a monthly and quarterly review of WBAI's budget performance. Again, I don't want to distract from the fact that this budget does represent progress at BAI. It represents progress in the process by which WBAI has been coming up with its budgets. Management was very responsive to the concerns we raised. If we had more time, we could have gotten probably further with this. Also, WBAI is in a very hard situation with extremely high fixed costs. They're out $700,000 on studio and transmitter rent before they put a dime into programming. That said, this network can't spend money it isn't bringing in. WBAI can't. We've done it. Our reserves are gone. We're up against a wall here. Something's got to give. And part of that something is going to have to be expenses at BAI. There's not much left to cut that isn't salaries.
Okay.
I'd like to call. Add a few things. And, again, I concur with Brian here about the good effort that's been made. You parachute in a new GM. just getting their heads around Pacifica is one thing, much less the budgets, and then inheriting a deficit and an underperforming station. We saw the audience numbers as well yesterday, so we have to keep that in mind. This is the first time I've seen the latest 8.2, I think, version of the budget. I think there were seven, and this is number eight. But I would like to call your attention to some of our footnotes, which I think still apply from what I've been able to just quickly look at. I mean, overall, National Office felt that there's too much lack of detail and too many assumptions that things are just going to work out the way they are in this budget, including new initiatives like magazine things and, you know, extra mail drops and bringing things in-house. I'd also like to point your attention to footnote number 2, which apparently is still the same under revenues, under donations and major donor income. You know, I have to say, this is our footnotes there after the WBAI budget in the binder, and apparently it still applies for what they have booked for the budget total 2009 and last 12 months summary. I think that it's just a tad strange that WBAI pulls out $500 donations from fund drives and puts that into donations and major donor categories. Apparently, this has been done to avoid central service fees in the past. So, you know, that's really not a best practice. None of our other stations do that. A major donor gift is a major donor gift. If you've got a gift pack going at a fund drive that's $400 or $600 or $500, and somebody opts to get that gift pack, this is a fund drive. It's not a major donor gift. But it's been, I guess, historically pulled out and then booked as major donor. So I think if you're going to do major donor, do major donor. And again, this is something network-wide that has to be applied evenly in order for us to begin to get some level of unanimity amongst the stations as you're able to look at their financial infrastructure. You know, they've proven the website income because I guess new revenue was discovered or certain things were booked correctly that hadn't been booked correctly. Mail drive, I think they're ambitious in their mail drives. None of the mail drives have been doing that great. The last mail drive that was done, it predates me, but National Office did a mail drive with WBAI and it lost money. One of the things that we spoke about was the community event income from David Rothenberg. And, you know, I'm guaranteed by everybody in New York that that's a positive and that we should allow that much of an increase. It's a 27% increase on the theater ticket program. That's a pretty big increase to swallow. An increase is fine. 27% is a lot. And, I don't know what the local economy is looking like. I read the New York Times daily. What's going on Wall Street is insane. But that also has a trickle-down effect to service industry, to everybody around that area. Can't be denied. There is a trickle-down. And we don't know what that's going to look like, given what's going on now in New York in the financial sector. You know, there are some new campaign revenues, like this magazine campaign revenue. The other thing that makes me a little uneasy about some of the way the development kind of grants and things are done is that people, you know, money is allocated then for somebody's specific salary. And I'm just not sure that's a good practice. In other words, somebody will go out, raise some money, that'll be given as either a major donor or whatever, but it's restricted around it for a certain position or a certain salary. Now, it's one thing to do that, you know, to go to a foundation and say, you know, we want to do a new news initiative, and the foundation says, okay, you know, you want to do an environmental beat reporter, all right, you know, as a foundation, we'll give you that money. But sometimes it comes from individuals. So it's grants, income, non-operating, for example, our footnote number 10, where, you know, it's a special one-time $12,000 to support somebody, just a certain person in a certain job. I think that that can get a little dicey, and maybe that's more of an approach, a way that things are kind of done, than it is necessarily about, is that hard income actually going to come in? I think they've done an excellent job, like KPFK did, of parsing down every single telephone, every single little bill that they can get to cause some economy. The LSB election, we felt it was actually under budgeted. $97,000 was the actual. That was because of the legal fees for 2007. But in this budget, which is a crossover budget, you know, the election will happen between fiscal years. In this budget, it, at least to our footnotes, is $30,000. So I don't know if that's in this as well. It looks like it's the same amount as well, $30,000. That's hoping that there is no litigation that ensues. But that is contingent on a lot of variables, cleaning up the lists, taking care of the recommendations that was done by the local election supervisor into what caused snafus and what didn't. In general, this is one of those situations where if you look at the last line here, net income, net loss, you see that in certain times of the year, you know, we go through a net loss. What's going to cover that? This is where we've gotten into trouble before. I have said, you all know, one of the first budgets to be crafted during this project or this budget-making project was the National Office budget because we were mandated by the board for contingency planning because National Office was hemorrhaging, couldn't make payroll. So just like with KPFK, I said, can't book central services for WBAI. Admire the spirit. Don't want to squelch the optimism, you know, really want to support staff in that, but let's get real. And let's stabilize, again, as I said with Kay, the mission is to stabilize the stations. It's critical. And especially when we see, again, that there are months where it could get very dicey, especially if fulfillment doesn't improve, if lowering the costs of premiums don't improve, and the unknown of the local economy, and as we look at system-wide, declining audience numbers. Where does that leave me in a conclusion? I still don't think we should book central services coming from WBAI. I think that we should be conservative in that, just like we were with KPFK, and say, you know, let's at least, because again, we don't have the packages in place for severance. We don't have the 4% increase. There's still litigation out there that could happen. And we know what our deductible is, although we don't know what the new next year's insurance policy may look like. They may raise our deductible because that's about to come through come October 1. Dan is nodding his head. Yes. You know, right now we know the retention, the deductible is 125 or 120. That could go up to 150. And then we don't know where these suits end up. We reviewed all the suits yesterday with Dan's legal review. Then there's the issue that Brian brought up about, you know, the assumption that rent will decrease. That's an assumption. We maybe hope it happens. But from what I understand, there's now a lot of vacant office space around Wall Street. You know, so it's not as though space is hard to get and it's going to be at a premium. There's going to be a lot of office space available in the next many months in Manhattan. and certainly in Wall Street. So I think this dovetails, of course, into the upcoming discussion of the national office budget, which is not to get into the mistake that we've gotten into before, be real about the capacity to pay central services, stabilize it, look and see if things are actually doable, because everything is a domino effect. And that's where we get into borrowing where we are, and the threat of, I can't tell you how many, you know, it's not fun to lay awake and think about, are we going to make payroll or not? Certainly taken its toll with me. So I don't know where to wind this up other than to say I would really, really, really underscore that we not see central services coming for a few months, at the very least, until they stabilize, get their severances together. We also have a CBA negotiation that starts October 1. I don't know if legal is built into that. I don't know if we're going to need legal for that. But, you know, again, with also health benefits skyrocketing on the East Coast, because, again, they don't have the advantage of Kaiser HMO, which has helped keep some of the medical, some of the health benefits down in California. And we don't know. MAMC is going to, like I said, turn into thin air midway through the year. We've been given the heads up on that. I guess that's where I end it. It's okay. Not necessarily conclusive.
Okay. Brian, do you have anything to add before I ask Tony to...
I will just add that this is the one budget that severance costs have been built into now. At an amount estimated at about $70,000.
Plus the $70,000 for the 4% increase?
No, that's not in the budget.
Right.
Severance is in the budget in the amount of $70,000. At our request, okay. Tony estimated it.
But sorry, I didn't catch that.
But it's offset by deferred central services. In other words, we wanted him to show the severance cost. There was no place for it to come
it
from.
It has to be offset.
We wanted it
somewhere.
To be in there, particularly since the union contract at WBAI imposes such large severance costs. We felt like that was something that had to be in this budget. So that's one thing that is in there. That's about it. I think we should take...
Okay. So I'm going to take... Brian, your microphone just disconnected. Brian's mic just separated, guys. I'm going to take questions from PMB members. I want you to realize that Tony is in the audience and now has his hand up. So, Tony... Wait. I want to hear from Tony. Tony. This is Tony Riddle, General Manager of WBAI.
We also have a shortfall of applause, so you should.
Yeah, really.
Hold that
don't torture
reserve.
Him with this, your applause.
Okay. Let me start off with the meat for the meat eaters. General Manager, you know, I've been through a very...
Into the mic.
That's all right. I'll speak louder rather than be distracted. I've been through a very rigorous budget-making process here. I don't think I've ever been through one with this level of intensity. We were given... let me go back to the past. Let me say first that WBAI has not paid its central services over the last period of time, and this is not appropriate. This is not how we should be operating, that if we paid the central services, then we would have recognized a smaller amount of money to operate on. And I know as a person who has done this where you don't pay the bill right away, and then you feel like you have enough money to go to the restaurant because you have the bill money in your pocket. So there's some of that there, and for that, in case it's never been done officially, I want to apologize to the entire network on behalf of WBAI and say that I know that this has caused a lot of stress and a domino effect, as has been said, not just through the network, but particularly at National Office, which is not in a position to do its own direct fundraising and has had to had to deal with this. So direct apologies about that from BAI. That having been said, the process was very difficult. We have a lot of disagreements about things going forward. I was actually told at one point my tone was not appropriate, and it probably wasn't. I get that way sometimes. It was very difficult on some of those phone calls, and I do have to say that sometime we should meet early in the morning Pacific time instead of late at night on East Coast time, because it's very difficult to be up at 11 o'clock doing this stuff. All that having been said, you know, we fought it out. We came to some conclusions. I'm sure, you know, as you heard Brian say, you know, there's some places where they have disagreements about or concerns about the way things have been budgeted. Similarly, we have concerns not only about the way things have been budgeted, but also the assumptions of national office. I have to say that I feel at least a little disappointed that the national office footnotes are included, but the responses that we made in writing to those footnotes, which clear up some of them, or at least offer, you know, reasonable explanations, are not included. This is part of what has made the process difficult. And I know this from working at BAI, and it may also apply to other things here at Pacifica, but there's sometimes less information sharing and more sort of gotcha stuff. And that made things difficult as well. Particularly in working with the national office on the 12-month actuals, there were several places where we knew the actuals to not be accurate, and had a great deal of difficulty getting movement on those sorts of things, even when we could say that they were not accurate. You know, to wit, the internet income, where we knew or found out that the payments made into PayPal had not been credited to internet income. They had been credited to listener sponsorship, and that they needed to be moved. But I was still getting pushback that we should still only leave that at a very low level. And it doesn't change the bottom line particularly, but what it does do is it makes it impossible for us to budget any income for that line. Similarly, you know, several things have been identified as like new income and so forth, when there's actually a history of what the income is right there in Great Plains. And so in the first part of the budgeting process, I was told you cannot budget anything as an income in 2009 higher than it was in 2008, regardless of what the history was. That's what I was told. Later in the process, I was told, well, you can do it if you provide the history, but, you know, things being what they are, there's not always time to provide the history. But that applies to the mail drops. That applies to the magazine ad income. There's a couple of others that it applies to as well. And these things are available right there in Great Plains. It also applies to community events. But we will provide all of that. All of that having been said, just to outline that there are some disagreements, I would say that as general manager and having gone through this whole process, not being completely happy with what's come out there, I recognize where we are and what we have to do. So my recommendation would be that since we came to this agreement at some point, that I would recommend the NFC provided budget with the caveat that there should be an opportunity to make the amendment and have a discussion as to the LSB changes that were requested. The next thing that I just have to bring out because it was brought up and it came up earlier today with regard to legal fees. This is a situation where we actually have sort of a paper trail here that represents a general feeling that we've had at WBAI at some time about what our actual owings are to the national office. In the case of the legal fees, some of you may remember that at the last face-to-face PNB meeting, we suggested that we were going to pay $81,000 towards what we owed to national office. And in this email that I have from the national office staff, $61,600 was to go to what was at that time the total legal fees for the LSB election. And $19,000 was to go to ballot materials and Casey Peters and so forth. So a general total of $81,000. I've got the wire transfer paper here. But on both on the spreadsheet that I got from National Office and in your board books, you will see that there is no payment of $61,000 credited to WBAI. So when there's an outstanding bill that we have that's being said that we still owe, you know, which I think is $91,000 or something, this is not correct. Now, I don't think that there's any foul play going on at all. You know, in fact, I know that at the time the National Office needed some of the money that we owed them in order to make good on bills that they had, and so that was probably taken care of, and I think that that's perfectly legitimate. But in some cases, the proper credit is not given in the books, and so then you end up with the bill still outstanding. So that credit should either be where it was said it was going to be placed, or it should be against central services or something, and as of today, we don't have any written documentation. I don't bring that up because $61,000 is so big, because it's not that big a deal in terms of how much we owe. We owe a lot more than that. What we don't know is exactly what we owe, because there's several instances like this in the past, and I think this is something that probably needs to be discussed. We're all sort of thrown into situations where we have to make stuff happen very quickly, and that's how that happens. I think I passed out the general notes that go with budget version 8.2, and that was sent both to the national staff and to the NFC earlier in the week. We did, and it notes some of the changes from the earlier version. We decreased our listeners to support fulfillment to 76% as requested. We eliminated the mail drop. We eliminated the ad sales income, even though we're already in the middle of doing the ad that we previously had done in the Nation magazine, and there's a history of that. Our net income after central services was increased to $140,000, which is not the $220,000 that would have been 1 month, but it's a significant increase. Our salary reductions are increased to $750,000 per year. $350,000. Maybe I'm presaging something. But they were increased to $350,000 a year worth of cuts. But that $350,000 that cut also does not take into consideration the fact that we budgeted $72,000 for
so it's 420 in long-term cuts.
Yes, yes. In addition to which, when you look at the bottom line, the bottom line difference is bigger than what it appears to be because we failed to pay central services for a year. So here you're seeing an increased net in addition to commitment to paying central services. So I just wanted to point out those three things. We have already identified what we're going to pay or what we think a reasonable amount of severance is going to be per the union contract. We were previously showing the personnel cuts that we were considering in the budgets, but we found that that was causing a lot of sort of pushback in various ways. So I totally eliminated that, and we're going to start from scratch once we understand what amount we have to work with. So there's various other notes there. I'll let it go at that point, but I'm open for any kinds of questions.
Okay.
Just one question, Tony, mm-hmm. or one statement. Oh, excuse me.
Not yeah, sure. Right. So here's what we're going to do. We have questions to either Brian or to Tony. That's how we're going to do it, and I will recognize people. So I see Nicole and then George to begin with and then Jack.
You know, Tony, with regard to that $61,000, now I think that predates my time of doing two jobs, but I think if we had either Lynn or Stephen on the phone, certainly Lynn, I seem to recall that the money came in, but then we had to cover health benefits or something.
Mm-hmm. Not for us.
I thought some portion of it went to cover health benefits. And so it was kind of money in, but some of that money out. But we can ascertain that. I mean, Lynn is pretty on point with all this stuff.
Well,
but again, as I said, it predates my double job here.
That's true. And actually, you know, I'm very aware of how big the job is there. And so this is not a criticism of anybody doing anything to us. It's just a matter of, you know, the difficulty of sometimes getting the numbers to hold still.
Okay.
And why. And
okay.
So my only request is that if it is if, you know, we have an agreement and it is taken against something different, that we need to know that so that we don't get billed still for the other.
Okay. Point well taken, and that will be – that information will be sorted through. George is next. Jack. Doc.
What were the items that the LSB wanted to have in the budget that aren't in it?
George.
I'm sorry. What are the items that the LSB wanted to have in the budget that aren't in it?
Well, there was I was actually not even at this meeting, but they wanted to return the revenue from the mail fund drive to the budget, which was two drops at $25,000, and the magazine campaign revenue, which was two ads at $41,000. And there were expenses associated that would also be returned to the budget of $12,000 for the mail fund drive and $4,500 for the magazine campaign revenue. So those are offset against that. And I just want to point out also that that in the matter of the mail campaign, we did these. So I used the exact numbers of the previous ones, which were $23,000, $18,000. They just happened to not be last year. They were the previous year for whatever reason. We didn't do it. We had a change in governance. And also, in terms of the mail fund drive, two things. One is that this follows our history, and this can be provided if no one wants to pull it out of Great Plains. But I also want to point out that, I mean, there's this interesting thing, like, okay, so there was a mail fund drive that didn't make any money. Well, the proper way to do that is to show what money it did make and then show the expenses as being higher. And the reason that you do that instead of not showing it at all is because then I don't end up in 2008 not being able to budget anything as revenue, because that's, you know, that's how it's shown up right now.
Okay. I have – George, you're done? George?
My question is actually for Brian at this point. I mean, this sounds like the ad campaign that you were talking about, it actually brought in $40,000
yes.
twice?
Yeah, and no. It brought in $23,000 one time and $18,000 another.
And it cost how much?
It only cost us about I don't know this one for a fact. I've been told it only costs us less than $1,000 to run the ad because of a relationship of one of our board members to the Nation.
And so the budget doesn't include the $1,000 expense for running the ad?
No, I just said $4,500 worth of expenses, which includes, you know, the ad layout and then the you know, premiums that are involved.
Right. Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Next is Jack, Doc, Nia.
Yeah, I have a question that maybe Brian can answer, or someone who knows the history of this particular issue. The question of a donation over $500,000 being counted as a major donor.
500.
What did I say?
I said
500,000.
That would be a major donor.
I think that would be a major donor.
Yeah.
$500. $500.
It's at Pacifica's policy on this has been consistent and in writing from the controller at the national office. In fact, our business manager has it posted to her wall from the last memo, which went out in 2004. There's not a dollar threshold. That's the policy we've been given from the national office. If it comes in a fund drive or a mailing, it's listener support. If it is a planned gift, that's a trust, a bequest, or a charitable remainder, whatchamacallit, that is a major donor gift. In other words, if it is individually solicited and intentionally given rather than part of a mass appeal, that's a major donor gift that's not subject to the levy. And I think the intent in that policy is we look at the money that comes in through mass appeals as partly a product of the quality of the network's programming, right? The levy goes to pay for things like Democracy Now! But we see those individually solicited large planned gifts as the product of local initiative and fundraising, and not something that should be levied. That's me assuming the rationale. I'm not speaking for anyone on that, but that's why it makes sense to me that it's set up that
Tony,
way.
Excuse me, Tony, did you want to say something?
Yeah. And so I think there is some confusion around that because we've used 500 for a long time, and we don't use it for people that pledge. We don't use it for anything coming in from the fund drive. But I also want to point out that, for instance, if you look in your book, you know, where you see the listing of major donors, we get major donors all the time, you know, based on the categories that are there. But ours are not listed in the book. And this is the kind of thing that just makes us feel, you know, like it's, we're just being treated on some different standard. As a for instance, we got a famous author that just gave us $14,000 after listening to a show. And I think it might have been during a fund drive, but she wasn't contributing, you know, to get a premium or a membership or anything. She just liked the show. So if you don't want that to be called a major donor, I guess that's fine. But it just strikes me that that's not appropriate.
Just asking
But I have one other point, because this speaks directly to policy. And since we're airing all this stuff, I just want to say it. We had a woman die, leave us $160,000. This was reclassified from how we classified it as listener support, and it was levied. We're still arguing about this. So that's when I say, you know,
okay.
When I say we're not sure about how much we owe.
Just a minute. Nicole.
You know, I can't go back into all this past history.
This year.
The murkiest and murkiest with WBAI. All I know is what I stepped into. I think we do have some problems around how things have been accounted for in the past, finger-pointing. There's always been suspicion from BAI about how National books something. There's always suspicion from National on how I does things. You know, all I'm trying to deal with is the reality, which is, you know, the National office, hence the domino effect of no central services and having to also cover bill backs. I mean, I'm just trying to deal with the reality of money there or money not. I'm sorry that within the Pacifica family, you know, it gets real contentious around WBAI. 10 years ago when I was GM at A, it was kind of the same thing. But I can't... You know, we can't get into that right now.
But there are definitely issues
around, you know, things being, all accounting being the same at all the stations. And that's not necessarily true. So, again, admire the work that's gone in. But we've just drilled down on a lot more healthier stations. And we've parsed them down to their car donations or their this or their that. And I'm not saying, you know, I'm just saying we have to be really mindful for the stabilization of the station itself.
I have a list. I see everybody's hand. The question on the floor from Jack was an explanation. Kathy, I saw you. You're on the list. Margaret, you're on the list. The question that was on the floor from Jack was, is it a policy within nonprofits or at the national office that $500 is the demarcation of a major donor or is the source, i.e. either fund drive or bequest, gift, or donation, what is used to classify the money? Nicole, a simple answer.
I can only tell you system-wide, and I don't know specific to Pacifica because I have not seen the policy, but basically in public broadcasting, you know, $500 is not considered a major donor.
Okay, so that's that answer. And everybody's going to yell, yes, it is, no, it isn't, but Brian.
Let me just clarify. Major donor is used in two different senses. One is in a development sense, and one is in an accounting sense. Nonprofits, for development work, set a threshold beyond which when they notice someone has given that much money, they give them individual attention. Okay? And they call that a major donor. Major donor gets a phone call. They get a face-to-face if they're above a certain level. It's part of your fundraising strategy. That is separate and apart from your accounting practice and what line of your financial statements, what your criteria are for putting a given donation on a given line of your financial statements. At Pacifica, as I understand it, and this is what I've seen in writing from the national office, although it comes from before your time, it's a question of how the money comes in, how it's solicited, not a question of how big the individual gift is. Mm-hmm. That determines where it's booked and whether or not it's levied.
Okay, so the question remains unanswered. Thank you. Doc, Nia, Kathy, and Margaret.
I think all the stations have a way of deciding how to allocate stuff that doesn't come in via fund drive directly, because I'm sure that we book stuff. Somebody walks in the door and gives us $50, we're not in fund drive, it may not go into something that's going to get levied by central services. That's just a way of life. I'm very concerned when I hear you talk, because I do believe that sometimes we stand on top of BAI differently than we do other stations. And I really appreciate your willingness to stand here and call us on that. Because BAI is the biggest station with the biggest overhead that's fixed, that you really don't have a whole lot of wiggle room in terms of how to eliminate some of that. And part of what I really feel like we have to do is, on the one hand, yeah, we got to cut expenses and we got to do a whole lot of things to get us on track. But we really better figure out how to make some money. Right. And if we don't do that, all the rest of this doesn't mean anything. Because the light bill's not going away and your rent's not going down anytime soon. And part of what we do, we spend a lot of time raising hell about not having any money. And we really better figure out how to get energized and raise some money. PNB, LSB, listeners, I can't believe that we have 5 million people in Houston and 7,000 paid memberships. Okay, that pisses me off every time, and my LSB will tell you, I say it all the time. It makes no sense, because if we want more money to pay the bills, we have to do something to get it. And I understand that we're in crisis right now, so we got to roll back a little bit and find our footing. But to ream a manager out, a general manager, who walked into a mess, is not, there's no fairness in that. And I think we need to change our attitude, because we keep running good people away. And the way we deal with people is not right. We've got folks breaking their butts trying to make this okay. And we need to change our attitude. Tony is not the enemy. And we keep acting like, you know, I'm sorry, I'm speaking for me right now, how I feel. And I'm feeling, and I sit in these meetings, I'm on all these phone calls, and I'm listening to all of it, from audit to finance to all of it. And sometimes the way that we talk to people makes their voice change. Because it makes mine change. And I'm pretty laid back most of the time.
Oh.
You give me a little chocolate, I'm cool.
Okay.
But we can't save Pacifica by just talking about cutting. Somewhere in there, we got to talk about how to get us moving forward in a way that makes people want to listen to us and send a check, not just tune us in. Programming is a big part of that. And we have to, you know, come out of this with some rationale. Nicole has incredible ideas on how to take us there. You know, we're running her away. We better get a grip, folks. And I'm really serious about this. I may not be on this PNB much longer, but I'm still going to be a part of Pacifica. And when I turn the dial, I want to hear it. I don't want to get dead air. We can't do it if we don't change the way that we think about things and stop fighting and suing ourselves, because we can't afford it.
Okay. Nia. Nia, Kathy, Margaret.
Okay. I think I'm sitting too close to Evelyn. She's sitting too close to me. I think we're getting kind of psychic here because all weekend she's been saying the same thing that I've been saying. And it wasn't planned. I thought I had my clone in New York, but I see I have one in Houston now. Let me just say, on a serious note, first of all, let's all breathe. That's number one. Let's all breathe. You know, it's not the big things. It's the small things. And I hear what Tony is saying. I'll give you a personal example. I have an iPhone, which I'm going to brag about, with my son on the face of it. And last night I was out, you know, with some friends, and I said, you know, I have my son on my iPhone. And my daughter said to me, Mommy, where's my picture? And I'm saying that to say that what Tony is saying, which I actually observed the same thing, on the other budgets, there were the major donors. And what he's saying to us, and we must listen and be sensitive to that. He is the employee. And that's his reality. His perception is his reality. So we can't ignore it, and we can't just poo-poo it, you know, and make our off-the-cuff comments. And I'm pretty calm myself, and I'm going to remain calm. I'm not going to get flustered because an attitude begets an attitude. And what he's saying that you cannot put the major donors on some stations' reports and not put the major donors on other supports. It's like my daughter and my son. Where is her picture? That's what he's saying. Also, I'd just like to remind people that throughout the entire network, let's remember that our minimum membership reduced from $50 to $25. Mm-hmm. That, too, is part of our problem. Mm-hmm. On top of the economy and everything else that is going on, so let's not forget that. Tony is a brand new general manager, and Evelyn's absolutely right. We need to be sensitive to the way we speak, you know, we speak to people. If he's saying that the $61,000 is not there, I think what we should say as leaders of governance is say, look, you know, let me find out. Let's find out where it is. You know, don't make it seem as if it's insignificant or he's crazy or, you know, whatever. I'm not saying. I'm sorry. I'm out of order, Madam Chair. You know, but that's just
wow, that's great. Automatic. I don't even have to do it anymore.
You know, actually, right. That's my perception. But my bottom line again is, I just want everybody to walk away and just remember. I don't know how long I'd be around here myself. It was just remember my son and my daughter. That's what Tony's saying. Put the major donors in for everybody or don't put them in for anybody. Thank you.
Okay.